Hi, friends. Welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon Stewart, and today's conversation is one I feel incredibly honored to share. He's a college student who chose courage over comfort and light over silence. His story is marked by grace, humility, and a real encounter with the love of Jesus, the kind that doesn't shame, but restores. He's not here because he's got it all figured out. He's here because he said yes to freedom. And I believe this conversation is going to bring hope to anyone who feels trapped, unseen, or fighting a battle in secret. I'm so grateful for his willingness to share, and I believe you're here listening for a reason. Welcome, Preston. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm stoked to be here. I know we chatted before, but this is awesome. An open door, an answered prayer. So thanks for having me.
Yes, I saw your mom's post, one of her stories of you getting baptized. And then I felt stirred to click on the picture and the story, and it led me to your Instagram page. And I read a part of your testimony, and I was like, he is so perfect for this podcast, Out of Focus. I loved your authenticity, your openness, your vulnerability, and I really believe that your story will impact so many people because you were willing to share it. So thank you so much. I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, I'm stoked, and thank you for the kind words. Mom's been a huge support through it all. I'm sure I'll be able to talk about it more later, but yeah,
she's precious.
She's amazing.
We love her. She's a beautiful person on the outside and inside. So take me back to when you were a child. What were you like as a little kid?
I like to think pretty similar as I am now, kind of like a ball of energy. I just like love having fun with friends, genuine good fun. Every sport you could think of I was involved in. We grew up going to church. And so going every Sunday, going for the holidays, my extended family goes to church. And so I was raised in a Christian household. I also went to a private Christian school for 13 years,
Wow. Kindergarten
to senior year. It definitely brought challenges, but that also is an environment that I wouldn't have changed at all, right? I think that's the best environment you can grow up in when everyone around you is pointing you back to Jesus all the time. During COVID, it was hard. So I think that was when I took my relationship with Jesus and tried to make it my own, but also it was just very like on and off. And I think that was also high school was difficult. And that was where a lot of like I faced probably my first like big challenges in life and didn't really know how to navigate them. And so that's when I started turning to pornography. That's when I started using that to numb my pain. And yeah, I grew up in perfect family. I have two brothers. I'm a middle child. And it was always competitive and crazy in the house, but
I get the competitive part. I have a sister, and my dad's goal was that we would play basketball and volleyball together when I was a freshman because she would be a senior. And we did because I practice and play hard. But those were some of the best memories of playing sports with her. But then we're like, who can score the most points? Who can get the most rebounds? And she is an athlete. She's super talented. She could play like any sport.
I had a similar experience. So I got to play varsity soccer with my older brother, but I also got to play with my younger brother. So I got 2 years with my older brother and then 1 year with my younger brother. So
that is so cool.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best. So
wow.
I completely get it. And it was always like, who's going to be better? And I'll keep my opinion to myself. I don't think I'll let my ego fold on that one, but
what was your favorite sport?
I loved soccer. I loved playing soccer. I was better at soccer in high school and middle school, like growing up. And that was what I played like all the time, travel ball, school ball. Now I would say basketball.
I was a baller.
Yeah.
I didn't play soccer, but I played AAU basketball, and that was one sport I played all the time.
Yeah. And it's so easy to still pick up. I go to the rec center at school and play like once or twice a week.
I love it.
It's just easy to pick up.
Right? Yeah. So when you were younger, would you say that you were a rule follower, a people pleaser, someone who tried to hold everything together? I used to back talk. I always had to have the last word. If I was going to get into trouble, oh, you too? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what finally clicked or when I stopped. Maybe I still haven't stopped. I feel like I'm better, right? But yeah, that was me. My mom was always like, why do you have to have the last word? I wasn't like a devilish child. I wasn't doing crazy stuff, but I definitely was causing the most ruckus and always having the last word.
Mine was definitely that.
Yeah. I think also growing up, another thing like on my journey that I've realized is my ego and my pride was massive, kind of at the expense of my siblings or sometimes other people. I'd shoot somebody down until they'd like stop challenging me just so that like I wouldn't get hurt. I think like in the house too, that's a lot of the time what led to having the last word was I want to be right and I want to have the high ground for, does that make sense?
Were you insecure in any areas that you overcompensated being prideful?
I don't think I was really insecure. I just always thought very highly of myself and knew that, especially in sports, like I knew I was good. And so I wanted especially my siblings to know that. I don't like to think I was ever like prideful or egotistical on a team or anything like that. But with my siblings, yeah, all the time.
I can see the sibling rivalry.
Yes. Yeah.
So you shared that you were known as the happy, positive guy. When did that become more of a shield for you than just your personality?
Yeah. And it was a shield for sure. Honestly, I would say middle school is when I started really meeting who were like my best friends, right? So you have super close people. And then after my eighth grade year, my best friend moved to Florida and my grandma passed away all in the span of a couple months. And so to me, it 14, my world was crumbling. I lost two of the people that were closest to me and that I spent a lot of time with. And so going into freshman year after that summer, I was hurting and broken. And that's when it was really a shield. So that's when I would act happy. And I just remember I would be going through class and there'd be some days where I felt like I just couldn't hide it. And people would be like, are you okay? And I'd be like, I'm just tired. Oh, I'm just tired. And usually people would back off. And I really put up that facade for all of high school.
I can understand that. It's easy as especially Christians. We have to have it all together. We can't have any struggles. We have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And I had an eating disorder when I was 14. And so that was an addiction, but I would wear baggy clothes and no one knew it until it got to a point where I was on vacation with my family in Florida and they saw me in a bathing suit and they were like, what? But yeah, I put on a front, put on a facade, got to keep it all together. But then that only lasts for so long and you're going to reach a breaking point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's draining. It's just so draining, right? And that's why you can't hold it up forever. Yeah. So my breaking point was, I think it was freshman year, I played JV basketball. And I remember I had my permit and I was driving home from basketball practice one night with my mom. And I was just driving back and we had a red light. And I just remember my tears streaming down my face and the light was all blurry. And she was just like, are you okay? Are you crying? And I was choked up and I was like, yeah. And she was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I don't know. I feel so empty. I miss my grandma. I miss Ben, my best friend. I just have this emptiness. And going to a private Christian school, you're always hearing the word. You're always praying before classes. But I still at that point didn't really have a relationship with Jesus, like one-on-one, me and him. And it's just so different. So that was really when I said what was happening and opened up to my mom. Still by that point, like pornography had really dug its claws into me and I was definitely in bondage. And
how did you first come across it?
So I was at a sleepover with some people that I played sports with when I was 11 and somebody brought up on like iPad or phone or something. And that was like first time I was exposed. And from there, I would look at it every now and then and it definitely got like more and more frequent. And then after eighth grade, when I just felt so broken, so empty, that was what I tried to use to fill that void. And from 14 till I guess 21, not to say I don't still struggle, right, with the temptation and things like that. It's an ongoing battle, but I've struggled with for half my life.
It's not a sin to be tempted, but right, it's a sin to give in to the temptation. So each day, every one of us has a challenge to crucify our flesh, deny our flesh, rely on the Holy Spirit. In our weakness, we are actually made very strong because His Spirit can help us to do things we can never do on our own.
Absolutely. And that was one of the hardest learning points that I had to realize is you can feel tempted. I felt so much shame and I was even feeling shame for just feeling tempted. And that was a big turning point for me, was realizing you can feel tempted. Jesus was tempted when he was in the wilderness, right? So it's normal to be tempted, but it's how you respond to that temptation and who you look to for help during that. And so it's nothing to feel bad about.
Mm-hmm. Now, early on, did you notice it affecting you or did you slowly realize, wow, this is really having an effect on my life?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't realize the effect it was having on me. I didn't realize how internally I would isolate and not really say anything when I was even around people, but also how I would isolate myself from like external situations, honestly, until college, sophomore year, junior year of college. I'm a senior now, so pretty recent. And looking back, I realize how much it affected me and how just like out of it I was. But yeah, I was completely blind to it, but I just continued through high school using it more and more and more even after that moment.
Did you have any friends that did it too that you knew of? Or okay.
Yeah, so some of my closest friends in high school We would be playing video games together, talking like on a call, and we would talk about it. And I think the unfortunate part is every high school, middle school kid now, and when I was that age, it's normalized. I think it's so unfortunate that it's normalized, but it is, and it's a joking topic, and it's like funny to talk about. And so that was a lot of those conversations. I remember towards the end of high school, I tried to just say like, hey, I think I'm struggling with this. I always remembered people a little older than me were, oh, like you'll phase out of it. You'll phase out of watching porn and all that stuff. And I always felt like, okay, when is that going to happen? Because I feel like that's not the case for me. So yeah, no one really struggled with it quite like I did. And so I don't think they realized how extreme my call for help was when I would bring it up. So that left me kind of feeling like I was by myself in it, which is a dangerous place to be with any addiction or anything like that.
Yeah, even shame wants to keep you in the dark. I remember me at first, after I blew up my world, I'm like, how can I face the one who is holy, righteous, perfect, glorious, matchless? And I knew what I did was wicked. I had repented and I have greatly grieved over what I've done. And for a while, I continued to run because I was so embarrassed and so mad that I did what I did and I knew it was wrong, but I did it anyway. How could I get to that point? Shame does want to keep us hiding, but grace invites us into the light.
100%. And I think a big thing, and maybe you relate to this, I don't know how it may differ, but the shame keeps you there, right? Like you just said, but in being able to tell people and have that accountability, like the only way that we're held down by our sin is like keeping that secret. And the moment you can let it all out is when you find the freedom.
It's so freeing.
It's so freeing.
It's so freeing. At some point, I had to post about what I did. I had a public position. I was on national television. And a while, there was a lot of people that said, why aren't you posting about it? We've heard what you've done. But I wasn't to that place yet because I was still dealing with all these emotions and feelings internally. And I just wasn't ready. But then when God gave me a message to put out there, I most certainly did. And after I hit post, I felt this release. I don't have to walk around anymore wondering if people think that I'm wearing the scarlet letter or wondering, oh, do they know? Do they not know? No, I don't care that you know, because that's in my past. God's redeemed it and he's restored me and he's given me a new name. And I'm not those labels that you tried to give me anymore. He set me free. So much freedom in sharing your story, because your story could be, it's a saying, the key to unlock someone else from the prison that they're in. You could be like, oh my gosh, they're on the other side. I can get through this. This doesn't have to be my future. God can set me free and I don't have to constantly have this addiction. God's all about renewing our minds and it's a process. I think people sometimes think that I've given my life to the Lord. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying, but I'm not quite free. It's because we have to do it daily. I struggle with anxiety, and for the Lord to deliver me from anxiety, I had to quote probably 3 scripture verses all day long. And it wasn't for about 4 or 5 years that he finally broke those chains of that anxiety off of me, but it took the word of God. So we have to fight. We're actually fighting from a place of victory because Jesus has already won. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's so funny you say that we're more than conquerors. So I've been through a couple small groups, and that's a big part of, I guess, how I'm even sitting here. And one of the groups is called The Conqueror, and it finishes by saying, you're more than a conqueror. Christ has already won, but you are more than a conqueror.
I love that. So, it's so important to remember truths, because when we hear lies or when thoughts come in our head, we have to literally replace them with the truth of God's word. If they oppose his truth, we have to cast them down.
Take every thought captive.
Yes. Yep, amen. Absolutely. So what lies did you start believing about yourself during this time?
Yeah. Oh man, there's a lot. I think the biggest one is that I wasn't ever going to get on the other side of my struggle. I think that was a huge hurdle for me, but I also think identity-wise, I wasn't capable of being loved or being intimate with somebody else. I think those were really big ones. There's so many, so many. And the lowest points, it was like, you shouldn't even be here, like on earth, you're worthless, but it's all lies. Right. And but I do think the core issue of any addiction is identity. Do you know who you are in Christ? And do you believe that? I think for a long time, especially with how I grew up, I knew a lot of these things as like fact. And I knew a lot of these things as like what people around me believed. But to hold that truth in your heart and to believe it and to live it out, it's so different. It's so different. And that's where it comes back to renewing your mind. And you have to day in and day out be in the word and talking to God to learn those things, believe those things, and get to a point where, okay, now I know in Christ I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. I'm a child of the King. I'm a prince or princess of the King.
Amen.
Yeah.
It does change things when we know who we are. And something shifted for me, obviously, if I could go back and undo what I did, I would. But I have learned that what's been blowing my mind is that I'm fully known and fully loved. Like, He knows the worst about me. He knows my thoughts before I think them. He's seen my life, and I did not shock Him by what I did. I shocked myself, but I didn't shock Him. It's His love. I don't have to perform. I don't have to be on TV anymore, on a cover of a magazine. This podcast doesn't have to do anything. He loves me because I am His and I'm His daughter. And that's something that's like, oh, His love for each one of us is truly life-changing.
Yeah. And I think a big change for me, and when I really realized that I have a relationship with Him now and I know whose I am, I was on a work retreat. I was in the woods. This was during college. And I remember calling my mom. This is when I first started going to small groups specifically for sexual addiction at my church in Wilmington. And I remember just explaining to my mom on the phone the love of God and how I finally understood it. And I just broke down on the phone and I was just in tears. Not because I was like sad, but just I was overwhelmed of the love and the grace that we get that never runs out, that can't change no matter what crime we commit or what we do or how much we sin. It's a love that is steadfast.
Amen. What was your breaking point? What all of a sudden shifted?
I think I just got to a point where I was sick of it. There was so many times where I'd go back to pornography over and over, and so many times where I'd be like, okay, God, I'm done. Like, I promise, like, this is the last time. I've said that hundreds of times. And I would go right back to it next day, next week. And I was in a relationship coming out of high school. And when that relationship ended, it was all my fault. And a lot of it stemmed from my addiction and being held down by my addiction. It made me realize that I don't view a relationship in a healthy manner. And so it all blew up. And after that, I realized I'm not okay. I do need help and I can't do this by myself. And so once I hit that breaking point of just realizing I can't do this alone, I reached out to your husband, Mike. That was the first person I talked to. So I asked my parents, and that was when I opened up to them after my breakup and was like,
he didn't even tell me your story, by the way. I didn't even know it until I saw your post.
Yeah. So I broke up, sat down with my parents in the kitchen, broke everything down for them. And obviously they're shocked. We were brainstorming and they were like, you should call Pastor Mike. And I was like, okay. So shaking in my boots, sitting at the top of the parking deck at school, I called him and he was like, you need to get plugged into a church. Like that was my biggest takeaway. He was like, you need to get plugged into a small group and figure out what resources your church has. And so I did. And it's one of the scariest things that I've ever done. And a couple weeks later, started meeting one-on-one with a guy that I still meet with. I met with him yesterday.
Wow.
And got plugged into a small group of men that were all struggling with the same thing. And I've been in groups as often as I can since then for the last almost 3 years.
How did you find this church?
They have a fantastic college ministry. And so a lot of UNC Wilmington students and other community colleges in the area go there. I had just heard about it. I had a couple soccer teammates and people I went to high school with that went to UNCW. And so when I got there, it was on my mind, like I need to be plugged into a church. And Port City Community Church was where everybody said to go. And Tuesday nights they have college ministry nights and they do the regular worship message.
Did you stop going to church for a time?
I was on and off my freshman year of college because I was still dealing with that breakup. And
how long were you guys together?
We were together a year. Yeah. So that was first relationship. So you obviously, it's a first breakup. And so you took it heavy for sure. But it's crazy to look back and see how far I've come and how that actually was such a beautiful thing that happened, because that's what started me on this path and that's what got me here.
So the Lord used her breaking up with you to start this healing process.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I even went for a run this morning and I ran with no music, which is weird. Like,
that would be hard.
Yeah, I don't like it, but I was trying to prepare my heart for today and hope someone's life has changed in the process of watching this. And I was looking back on my story and all the moments I was running and I prayed and I was like, God, thank you for taking me out of that. That hurts so bad, but that was the moment where I was really done. I was tired of hurting people. That's when I realized, oh, this doesn't just hurt me when I'm messing up and going back.
I'm sure it's harder today for you guys too, because it's everywhere. I was in modeling and one thing that sells is sex. Sex sells. And the things that they wanted us to wear and do. And I'm like, no, I won't do this. I'll do that. And it was constantly. And they always want you to do more than what you want to do. And then now we have OnlyFans. It's a whole other world. I'm sure it's very challenging.
It's everywhere. And it's so sad too, because you can find it anywhere. If you look on TV and it's things that a 12-year-old sitting with his dad on the couch shouldn't look at.
Right.
So yeah, it's everywhere, but I just hope it changes. I don't know what has to happen.
I hope women, I want them to know their worth, that they are a daughter of the king. They're priceless. They're loved, not because of what they look like or any of that, but for who they are. And I think that would shift some things, hopefully, with womenness, that they're like, you know what? I'm royalty. I don't have to dress like this. I don't have to pose like that. I don't have to do this. Maybe they do it because that makes them feel loved and accepted. Who doesn't want to be accepted? We all do. But Jesus accepts us just as we are, but he doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants us to become more like him, more like his son.
Absolutely. And I think too, you kind of share the perspective of being a woman, but also from the male perspective, and even seeing like around me, like being addicted to pornography, I'm still renewing my mind, obviously. But I think there's just so many guys too that you hear talking, and it's very objectifying. And it skews your view of what sex is and what God created sex to be, what God created marriage for, right? And so I think, honestly, that's one of the things that I'm kind of working towards, and I see as like one of my next steps is getting that healthy view back. I'm excited for that because I think it's such a beautiful gift, right?
Yeah, honor your future wife and see her as the prize. I interviewed another couple and she explained it like it was an affair to her. It hurt her heart. And so, I mean, actually all of us commit adultery when we have another love that we have on the throne of our heart than Jesus Christ. He talks about it in the Bible. So we always have to keep him on the throne of our heart, and we can have a love affair with different things. It might be money. It might be status. It might be a person. It might be things. But he wants to be first place because he is truly everything that we need.
He is. Yeah.
What did shame try to steal from you that Jesus is now restoring?
Man, shame everything. Like my identity, there's been times where I've thought about taking my life. So it almost stole my life. Right. That's a difficult question to answer.
No, I think
just
you did
because
a good
there's
job.
So many things. It really does attack you from the inside out. You think that feeling is a valid feeling. And for a long time, that feeling kind of ruled my actions and thoughts. And one thing that somebody said to me one time that really clicked, and again, was just like a big part of, like, I feel like I took a step up when I heard this, was feelings are a good slave, but a terrible master, right? And it's okay to listen to the feelings that you have, but letting them control you, including the shame, right, is worst case scenario.
And feelings lie.
Yeah.
Like, do you ever have a feeling that's like, well, why am I feeling this? This is awful. This opposes truth. They lie. They go up and down like a roller coaster.
They do.
And so we have to keep our feelings and emotions in check as they lie to us. They tell us all kinds of different things.
Yeah, totally.
So it's the word of God that keeps us thinking in a right mind. I'm so thankful for the Bible, but I think he's restored you because I can hear that he's shown you who you are in him and that you no longer think that you're worthless.
Right.
You know, you're a son and you know, you're loved and you know that there's victory on the other side of this because he's going to give you the power to overcome it.
Absolutely.
I see that. He's done a great work already. And he's not done yet.
He's not done. He's not done.
As you look back, can you see God's compassion and his love?
Yeah. I've always been very optimistic, so I think it's almost easier to say too. But I always look back at some of the lowest moments that I had, and I realized that those were some of the best moments that set me up for God to like pull me closer to him. And so, yeah, I forgot the question.
Where did you see God's compassion towards your younger self? Sometimes I look back and I'm like, wow, I thought that was rejection, but it was really his protection. In modeling, some doors close and I'm like, why didn't they open up? And I hear all these stories now of women getting abused and all sorts of things. So I really don't know what God spared me from by closing those doors, but I praise him for the closed doors. And even with what I did, there were times in those few months that I was acting like a fool. And it could have been a lot worse. And I see his mercy even in my rebellion. I'm like, wow, Lord, it could have been on another level. And I see his mercy even when I was acting wicked. His mercy is not giving us what we deserve, and his grace giving us what we don't deserve. This is my first single family home that I've ever owned. He's brought this dream to life. We've started a church. That's grace. And it's amazing to see, because I would think he would want to keep me in the doghouse. Why do you want to bless me?
Do you know what I did?
No, exactly. Sometimes I'm walking and I'm like, oh, I have not grown at all. I am still the same person. He's like, no, Shannon, you're not the same person. Look how I've slowly changed you. It hasn't always been immediate. Sometimes I'm a slow learner. I wish I was quicker. He's doing a work in us if we let him.
Absolutely. And growth is not linear either.
Right.
Which is so difficult. That has been the biggest learning point in my life the last 3 years is I'll have a couple weeks where I won't turn back to pornography and I'll be like, I'm doing great. And then it's just like the next 2 weeks are just like the roughest weeks in so long. And I'm beating myself up. Like, why don't I get this? Like, why is this not clicking? It just was. But, you know, you just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And growing is a lot. It's a roller coaster, or, you know, the stock market. Like it goes up and it comes down. But gradually, you're still progressing in the same upward direction.
Yes. I'm glad you shared that. Maybe they have a different addiction, or maybe they have the same addiction. They might think, well, I slipped up. Is there any hope for me? So I'm really glad that you were honest and you shared that. Same thing with my eating disorder. There would be months I would be good and then I'd go back into it again. But then when I was in my lower 20s, I woke up one morning and the thoughts were gone. So it is like you said, it's a daily surrender. If you mess up, you repent and you do a 180 and you try to next time say, you know what? I'm not going to give in next time.
Yeah. In all the small groups I'm in, we always say, just get back on the horse, right? You messed up. You got to learn from it, but don't dwell on it. Get back on the horse and just keep riding. I think that's so important. And I think one thing you said is like you woke up one morning and the thoughts were gone. And I think some people have that story and it's so beautiful where just like that, they're good, right? And it takes a little bit to get there. And other people like myself, there's not an aha moment of...
Not yet. But there might be. I had an eating disorder at 14 and I had an aha moment at, let's just go with 23. So
okay.
That many years.
That gives me some hope.
Yeah.
But I know growing up, people just talked about it. You just hear, oh yeah, I woke up and it was gone. And you don't hear about all the work that it took to get there. And so it's okay.
It takes work. People, how'd you get over anxiety? I literally quoted these scripture verses over and over. I was so tired. I did not feel like quoting the Bible. I was like, Mom, I want to take a nap. She goes, you need to start quoting scripture verses. But I was so tired of living in that hell. I'm like, this is not the abundant life that God promised me. I had a fear of passing out, which is insane because it's like, why would you be afraid of everywhere I went? Anything I did, it was like, you're going to pass out. You're going to pass out. Grocery store lines, I had to lay down. I got tired like you did. And I'm like, I know I can be victorious. Sometimes we have to get our hands dirty and we have to put in the work.
Absolutely.
Because God's not going to do everything for us. He gives us his strength. He gives us the Bible. He gives us other people to hold us accountable. But it's our job to work out our own salvation. It's our job to read the Bible, to pray, to rely on him, to spend quality time with him. I was going to ask you, whenever those thoughts come to you now to go to pornography, do you now choose to read the Bible or quote a scripture verse? What are practical steps that you do now to try to overcome those thoughts?
Yeah, honestly, 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive. That's what I've been working on. And when I feel that temptation, say the scripture over and over and over, I guess scientifically, the hormones that are dumping in your brain when you're entertaining those thoughts, it goes away 3 minutes, 4 minutes. So it's like for 3 or 4 minutes,
wow, okay.
If you can make it through that, then you're good. I think a big thing is change of scenery. I think that's a huge practical step, specifically with porn addiction, is just change of scenery and scripture, scripture, scripture.
Do you have any non-negotiables, things that you make sure, like in modeling, there was things that I had to enter the modeling world with that I would or would not do no matter how much money or how much fame. So not getting on your computer in the middle of the night. I don't know what your steps are.
No, that's pretty much it. So I like continuing to find these things and kind of, I guess, create habits out of them. But I do my absolute best every night. I put my phone down at 10:30. I set it out of reach from my bed and I read before bed. So at night was obviously when I'm by myself, I can do whatever I want to. And so that was the biggest thing, was put my phone out of reach and put it down at 10:30. And honestly, that's made huge difference. And so that is the biggest non-negotiable, is if I'm in my room, I try to be in my room before 10, then cool, put it down. If not, then it's okay. If I'm back later than 10:30, it goes down immediately. And it also helps to wake up in the morning because I have to get out of bed to get my phone. So it kind of, you know, it works out.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. I wanted to ask you about your parents. Did you see God's grace and love in them when you told them?
100%. So when I first told them, I mean, you know, your kid just told you that he's addicted to something and has been for, at that time, like 7 years or so. And so they're like, how did we not know? Right. So behind the scenes, I think they were beating themselves up, but they were so understanding and hugging me, telling me they love me and we're going to get through this. That was their initial reaction. And that is a bigger make or break moment. And for me, that was, we're going to make it moment. And even now, if I were to go home, mess up today, let them know, they're still going to hug me, tell me they love me. And they're going to say, get back on the horse. Like, let's ride. So yeah, they have been biggest supporters, so understanding, but also it's got to be like a tough kind of accountable love too, where you can't just keep letting it go under the rug.
I respect that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They want the best for you.
100%. So yeah, they've been there every step of the way, and it's nice to have conversations. I've had so many conversations with my mom where I'm like, when I get on the other side of this, I want other people to hear what God's done in my life. And so
I'm looking forward to that story. I'll have you on again when you say, I haven't had this thought in like 5 years.
I know. I'm excited for it. We'll definitely have to do it. But yeah, so she's been huge, especially when I got baptized and shared my story. She texted me and was like, hey, can I share this with Facebook? Hey, can I share? And I was like, 100%.
Speaking of that baptism, what did that symbolize to you personally? I love that picture, by the way. It was glorious.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a couple of different things. Well, for one, I was baptized when I was like 6. And so it was the first time where I understood, like, man, I am so messed up, but I'm still so loved. And I know that I have grace after grace and that God gives that. And I'm accepting that. And I'm not going to beat myself up. And I'm not here to be perfect. And so that was a big thing, was declaring that. But also part of it was baptizing to be transparent, to just tell as many people as would listen, this is my story. This is what I have struggled with for half of my life. And that's okay. God is using my story and I am healing. God is working through me, to just get that off my chest so that I didn't feel like I was still carrying around any weight. We started the podcast talking about just how freeing it is. And that is the most freeing feeling I have ever felt in my life, was coming up out of that water. I felt like I was floating.
Aw. Were you rededicating your life to him?
Yeah, I was. Because, again, in high school, I didn't necessarily feel like I had that one-on-one relationship and knew what that meant. And so, yeah, I was rededicating my life and wanted everyone to know, this is my foundation. This is what all the pain and struggles, this is what has brought me through. This is who I rely on. And that's why I got baptized. And it was so cool.
That's powerful.
It was so cool.
I love that. What was going through your heart as you stepped into the water?
Oh, man.
For people that haven't got baptized, take him to those emotions and to those feelings.
Yeah. So it's super cool, because the way that Port City does their baptism, so that was during our college night, you're kind of split up into 4 groups and you meet with your small groups. And so you're there with, by that time, like friends of yours, and you all know each other's stories. And so I'm standing there and my best friend also got baptized with me. So we're standing there and we're nervous, but we're just like so expectant. You're so happy. You just like can't, like you really can't contain it.
Do you want to jump in the water?
Yes. Yes. And so stepping into that water, I just had this peace of, it's a peace that makes no sense.
Like a peace that surpasses all understanding in the Bible.
100%.
Like, you know, he's going to be with you. He knows he's got you.
Yep. So I stepped in the tub and I was with 2 other guys that are, one was our pastor and another one was kind of our group leader. And they were just like, are you ready? And I was like, I can't get more ready than this. I don't know. It just made sense. It was a long time coming. It was something I had prayed about for months. And it, like, you know, the thoughts have popped in my head of like that moment for years. And it felt so good.
Did shame ever try to get you to stop or not go?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about that.
The morning of, I woke up and I was just like, should I be doing this? I had felt tempted leading up to the week before more than usual. And
well, that's just the enemy.
Of course. And so I was like, I'm still struggling with this and I'm still working through this and I'm still going to mess up. Should I even be getting baptized? Is that fair to everybody else who is maybe going to think I've got it all together now? And I just had to pray through that. And again, know that those feelings were lies, right? And know that the truth is what God has done in my life can help others, and know that I don't have to have it perfect. And the whole reason I was getting baptized was to accept the fact I don't have to have it all together. I don't have to perform. I just have to accept God's grace. And so that day was a whirlwind of emotions, but it was so good.
Can you imagine if we all waited till we were perfect to get baptized? None of us would get baptized.
Yeah, nobody would get done.
Because we will never meet that expectation of perfection. It's only Jesus that is perfect. We were justified just as we have never sinned when we repent, but we'll never be like him until heaven.
Yep, but that's something to look forward to. I think about that more now than before I got baptized, of just trying to have that eternal perspective of one day I'm going to be with all these people and we're all going to be exactly where we want to be. And that feeling that I had is like the feeling I'll get to live in forever.
I know.
Which is a crazy thought.
Like, no one, Abraham, Sarah. No.
Can't wait to meet Paul. I love Paul.
Yes.
It's
going to be crazy because I'm going to be like, you built a boat.
Yeah.
Jonah, you were in the belly of a fish.
You were in jail. Look at us.
What did I do? I had a podcast.
Yeah.
How has healing looked like for you being in college? I went to college for a quarter, so I don't really understand the full scope and the spectrum of college life. I know you're plugged in with a good church and youth group. So what's that like for you, the healing process being at college?
Yeah, I think it's been a little bit easier for me than some. I grew up, my parents were never really drinking, never really partying or going out or anything like that. So that's never been something that's been attractive to me. That was never a distraction that I had. And so
I prefer not to drink my calories.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I'd rather eat donuts or
Thanksgiving
cake.
Or yeah, absolutely. So I didn't have like those distractions. And so that wasn't something I had to worry about in the healing process. But I think now it's trying to die to my flesh and use the gifts God has given me and use my story in week to week and day to day. And so I've been looking at like how I can volunteer at the church. And I have, for my last semester, I signed up for classes. But before I did that, I broke down my schedule of, okay, how can I get time in fellowship each day and then kind of put my classes around it. And so I think it's just prioritizing that time with other believers and being intentional about making time for me and God to have a conversation and to read his word. And so that's something I'm just super excited for next semester is to get more plugged in because I love the church that I go to. I love the people there and I want to help other people because I know what God's done in my life and only he knows what he can do in everybody else's, right? And so there's unlimited possibilities and I just want to be a vessel that can help other people see that.
I loved how you talked about getting plugged in because that's important to get around people that you guys can be like ironing, sharpening iron for each other because you got to encourage each other and strengthen each other in the faith to soar to new heights in him.
Right.
We're not meant to do life alone.
No.
What would you say to the student or someone listening who feels trapped and ashamed right now?
The hardest step, but the best step you can take is tell somebody you trust and look at God says you are. I think should be on the website, but puredesire.com. That's who does a lot of the addiction groups. And they have like 100 statements of like who you are in Christ. Think like through and reading those statements and understanding who you are. It's the biggest difference. It's not one of those things that's going to go away immediately to learn how to navigate it. So say hang in there, somebody, biggest thing, and just and to understand like who God says you are. Good step.
I'm glad you shared that website. I never heard of
it. Pure Desire. They've changed my life. Yeah. Pure Desire, Ted Roberts, but those are all the groups. They have a couple of different ones. And I've been through a couple of those, starting another one here pretty soon that I haven't been through yet. So yeah, it's a good time. And being in a space with, for me, other men that are just so vulnerable and hold each other accountable and love each other so deeply is a life-changing experience. It completely changes the way that I have seen fellowship and that I have seen God work.
I'm glad you mentioned that shame is a process because it is. It took me probably a few years to get over, and that's the most asked question I get from people on social media. How did you get over the shame? Because I think sometimes they think, oh, it's just going to like go away. But it does take some work on our part to remind ourselves, like you said, you have great, powerful truths I love about our identity and who we are in Jesus. And that's exactly what I did as well, is I would tell myself who I am in the Lord instead of telling myself what I felt like telling myself. Those opposed truths, my thoughts at least. What would you tell the younger version of yourself?
Ooh. Man, I don't know. I think I would probably tell my 8th grade self, like, hang in there. And I would probably tell him, talk to God. I think that is something that I'm still learning to do, is just like have an open conversation. You can tell him you're nervous. You can tell him you're sad. You can ask him questions and tell him, hey, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do, like, you can just have a normal conversation with him. And I think that would have changed so much for me because that's when I really realized I feel different when I pray and when I'm talking to the Lord consistently. and just like letting him into every part of my life, whether it's like work, school, going to play basketball, whatever, as opposed to when I'm just like so caught up in what's next, what's next, what's next. And I think my younger self was so stuck in what was happening right then, because I felt like everything was crumbling down. I wish he could have just looked up and not really worried about everything around him.
What was the saying that you said before we started?
Someone once told me that if you just keep your focus up, then you're not worried about everything underneath you because you can't see it. And it kind of just, I mean, it applies to a lot, but people's opinions, like trying to please everybody or just life circumstances, addiction, and it makes so much sense. And it sounds easy, right?
Yeah.
But
is there anything that God has put on your heart that you feel led to share today?
I think no one's ever going to have it together. All the way. We are so loved beyond comprehension that it just doesn't make sense to us. I don't understand, like, after all the things I've done, after all the like empty promises I've made, after all the people I've hurt, I still don't understand why I'm being chased after and why I'm being loved so deeply and forgiven more times than I can count. And any one of us can experience that. When you have a relationship with God, it changes everything. Jesus changes everything. And I sometimes think it's so mind-blowing. I don't know, I could just say the same thing over and over again and it would just hit me different and hit me harder every time because I just don't get it. Like why I'm so lucky to be loved like this. And I just hope that day after day that I just show a little bit more of that love to everybody I come across. And don't give up. If you're struggling with addiction, if you're struggling with shame or guilt, don't give up. Get back on the horse. There is a lot more life to live and there are much more beautiful moments than you can ever imagine on the other side. And the grass is always greener. So keep it pushing.
What would you say to the person that has their foot in the word and one foot in the world?
That's hard because sometimes I still feel like I'm fighting like my flesh and spirit. And so I feel like I'm in that boat sometimes. I think it's a life that's so much sweeter though. The hardest thing is instant gratification. Wanting that right now, especially in such a like modern age where everything's right here. The benefit of giving your life to God and letting him work in you and living for him is so difficult, but so rewarding. And so I would just say a shot.
I think you're all in. You've jumped all in. I don't think that being all in necessarily means that you don't struggle because we all struggle. And I don't think it means that you're not going to be tempted because we're going to be tempted. God even tests us. He wants to know what's in our heart. And he's also trying to teach us different things about him and help us mature and grow in our walk with the Lord. I was more so thinking like people that maybe go to church on Sunday, but live how they want on a Monday. God says you will know us by their fruit, not because you wear a cross or because you go to church once a week. And in the world, you see a lot of lukewarm or cold. And I hope that people just, there's nothing like being sold out for Jesus Christ. There's nothing, because nothing else in this world can satisfy.
Of course.
Nothing. I've tasted several things in this world and none of them can compare to him. He's truly my everything and my all in all. And no one else can also fill the void inside of us. Not a spouse, not a boyfriend or girlfriend, only Jesus, because that space was meant just for him, our creator.
Yeah, I think the reason I feel like I'm on both sides is I think sometimes thinking of what people may be thinking about me sometimes is enough to like hold me back from acting in a way that I feel called to act. It's just like being obedient. It's like that hump I'm trying to get over. And so that's
like afraid of what people think if you're sold out or something.
Yeah. And I think just like showing that all the time to anyone and everyone at work where people have so many different views. And so, yeah, I think that's one of the things I'm kind of working through now is especially moving into thinking about my career is just making sure that I'm involving God in that process, but also that I'm going into these new places and exploring these new opportunities with Jesus written on my forehead, right? So
everyone has an opinion on everything. You can't please everyone anyway. You really want to please the one that gave his life for you and who can give you favor even with your enemies as your ways please him. And so my goal each day is I want to be sold out for him. There's a verse about they had been in the presence of Jesus. They were unlearned, uneducated men, but these people that were observing them knew that they had been in the presence of Jesus. That's what I want people to say about me. It was like, wow, she's been in the presence of the living God. Look at her life. Look at her fruit. Look at the way she speaks. Look at how God's transformed her tongue.
No, there's a guy that I go to school with, and last summer we both worked the same job, and he just poured into me, and he was one of the first people I've been able to get close to where that's how I felt about him. I was just like, it's pouring out of him And like every time I see him, it's pouring out of him. And he's always pouring into other people, or he's spending quiet time with the Lord. And I was just like, it's hard to kind of shoot for a goal when you can't see Jesus. You can't see God. I'm like, kind of want to like his direction because
isn't it amazing? Sometimes people don't even tell you that they're a Christian, but you can see it, how they deal with tragedy, how they deal with pain and suffering, or how they're joyful. What is it about them? This is the verse, Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I don't have a college degree. I don't feel very smart, but when people come around me, this is what I want them to think. She has been with Jesus.
Yeah.
That verse has always gotten me.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. So these are a few fun rapid fire questions. One word that describes how you feel today.
Excited.
A worship song that's been carrying you lately. Do you like worship music?
Grace to Grace. I listened to it. That was the last song I listened to before I got here.
Favorite food?
It was shrimp and grits for a while, but it doesn't hit like it used to. So I'm going to go with PT's Burger. I don't know if you've been to Wilmington. It's called PT's Grill, and best burgers in Wilmington, and one of the best burgers I've ever had.
I love cheeseburgers.
It's so good.
Now I'm going to have to try it next time I go.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. Definitely would recommend.
Are you a morning person or a night person? My guess is night, but I could be wrong.
I just don't like waking up early. I'm a night person. Yeah, yeah.
Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Last one, a scripture that's been grounding you right now.
I'm going to go 2 Corinthians 10:5.
That's a good one.
We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ.
Preach.
There you go.
I love it.
Yeah.
I like how real you are. I think they're going to be able to hear it, or if they watch it on YouTube, just see it. You're so honest and authentic, and people can see past someone that's fake. I love that realness, and I think that your story will impact so many people, and it will encourage people that there's hope on the other side. And hey, if they fall and get up, and they fall again, get up again, get back on the horse, like you said, keep your eyes up. So that's why my podcast is called Out of Focus. Because when we take our eyes off Jesus, we are setting ourselves up for a lot of pain, heartache, destruction, because we start blurring lines and doing what we feel like doing, even if it opposes truth. We need to, every day, to keep our eyes fixed upon the one who gave his life for us, who doesn't change, and who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and who loves us with an everlasting love, and who has his eyes upon us. We're the apple of his eye. And when we remember that he's going to work it all out, we don't have to figure it out. He's got us, and he'll strengthen us and empower us and help us, and he'll fulfill our purpose for our lives. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? His time is so much different than mine. I'm like, you are late.
Yep.
But he's not. He's always right on time. If people would like to reach out to you, can you share your Instagram handle?
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to reach out, and if you're struggling with this, please reach out. I'm more than happy to help. But my Instagram is press_Sims, P-R-E-S_ S-I-M-S. So yeah, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm here to help. I don't have it all together, but I know someone who does. So.
Amen. I love that. I don't either. So thank you so much. I really do appreciate
it. Thank you, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.